Although I guess I did have a hentai phase,
mm-hmm.
where that was the porn I was watching for...
I'm in the thralls of my hentai phase.
You're in the thralls of it?
Yeah. Well, it's the only porn phase I've ever had. Yeah. So.
I mean, but
I've never
I would say sex comics are different.
Sometimes I watch hentai.
Okay.
It's so not great, though. I prefer the comics.
But. Yeah. That, like, when I was, like, 15... That's all I was watching was hentai, because porn was kind of gross and weird and...
Yeah.
Yeah. At least hentai had, like, I don't know, it was colorful.
Yeah, yeah. And at least there's also the added benefit of, like, I like cartoons, I like drawings, so there's at least...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although, I think it also corresponded with my, like, anime stupid phase.
Oh.
It was like both of those were probably unrelated, but together in like, the same age.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all anime is dumb, and also, I'm gonna jerk it to some hentai.
Mmm. Interesting. Maybe a bit of a self-loathing?
Maybe. I mean...
The taboo of the thing?
As someone who grew up Catholic, self-loathing and jerking off very much came together.
Peas in a pod.
Peas in a pod.
Love and marriage. I haven't seen a script, but I've no doubt. If it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh, la, 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 la. Friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eyes. Ooh, la, 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 la. Now I'm suffocating in the makeup chair underneath the corner glue and a bag of hair. I'm looking like an overgrown shih tzu. It's how I always knew I'd be a T-Wolf. Welcome to Fan Fiction Writer's Room. I'm your editing manager, Spencer Suarez. No, I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
Here on Fan Fiction Writers Room, we take characters submitted by you, the listener, and weave them into a masterpiece in the way all great stories were meant to be told by amateurs on the internet.
If you'd like to suggest characters for us, submit your characters to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
I'm trying to be a better person.
Oh.
Not person. I'm trying to be prettier.
Oh,
that's different, isn't it?
Trying to look like a better person.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving...
Are they? I think that you... How pretty a person is tells you...
How good they are?
How pure their soul is.
That's true.
Actually, if movies have taught me anything...
Yes. So, I was, like, doing some research on, like, how to take care of my hair better and everything. Mm-hmm. And so, I've been putting... coconut oil and apple cider vinegar
mm-hmm.
in my hair. And it's like, that's crazy, right?
Yes.
It's like...
Yes, it is.
I just read, put like, vinegar in your hair.
Mm.
And I was like, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
That's what a human being should
good.
Do.
So, what are you looking up specifically for your hair? Are you trying to make it softer? Are you trying to... not use shampoo anymore.
Just try to make it healthier, like, just
healthy. What kind of hair do you have?
I have, like,
dry?
Good hair. No, it's not dry. It's pretty wet. I don't
oily?
Know my... It's, yeah, I would say it's on the oily side of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told my hair has good bounce back. When I bleached it yesterday, and my hair is feeling fine. It's it's not all coarse and rough and bleachy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what if, like, a really convincing article was, like, put peanut butter between your toes?
Now, you will find a very convincing article telling you to put peanut butter in your hair.
Is that real?
You'll find a convincing article to rub maybe dog shit in your hair. Like, oh my god. Who are these people that have nothing better to do than spend all of their time and energy doing all natural remedies for your hair? As someone with really oily hair who has also gone through the same
mm-hmm.
very painful process, apple cider, like, I'm not going to put vinegar in my hair. Stop trying to get me to put vinegar in my hair. The world.
The
everyone.
World. BuzzFeed.
I would recommend just going to, like, the next time you get a haircut, just asking your
yeah.
hairdresser for tips. And especially ask them, like,
what kind of hair you have specifically, and like what
that is the thing. It's like how, as much as we can ask our MUAs what their skincare routine is, everyone needs a different skincare routine.
Yeah, exactly. And what drives me crazy about this, like, amateurs giving advice on hair care, and this idea of like one size fits all for hair care, and someone with super oily hair who has my mom and my older sister both have super dry and coarse hair. Right. So I was always doing the wrong things entirely growing up. And so I go online and everyone's like, oh, no one needs to shower as often as everyone does. And if you've, so stop showering. And then by day two, you'll find your hair is really dry. So make sure you put this like leave-in conditioner. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? Dry hair? What? No, my hair is just oily all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's always like, the reason you have dandruff is because your scalp is like overcompensating because of the chemically shampoos you're putting in it to get rid of the dandruff specifically. Mm. And I'm like, okay, but like, I understand that that's probably not healthy for my scalp, but I'm not gonna just fucking have dandruff because it's healthier. Yeah, a lot of things are healthier. BO is probably healthy, but I'm not gonna...
Right.
Like...
That's what they say that, not deodorant, the other one.
Antiperspirant's
very bad for you. They say.
And, like, you should also know that apple cider vinegar specifically is a catch-all for everything. People that, you know, are looking for all natural remedies.
Yeah.
My kid has bronchitis. Oh, feed them some apple cider vinegar.
Mostly what I know of apple cider vinegar is the only time I've ever bought it, because I haven't ever used it for a dish, is I bought it when I had fruit flies. And you put it some apple cider vinegar in a cup, and the fruit flies are attracted to it, and then they drown in it.
Ah.
So it's like, I'm putting the thing that I use to kill fruit flies in my hair. Like, that's a cool thing. That's a smart thing that I'm doing.
Yeah. Which is, like, maybe there's some merit to it.
I don't know. But, like, yeah.
Yeah, these hair care tutorial things just... Especially when it's, like... It feels like the self-care, personal self-care version of people that are super into cooking, and they think that they're telling you an easy recipe, and they're like, oh yeah, no, it's so easy to make this, like, really quick, healthy stir fry. Just saute these onions for, like, 40 minutes, and then throw all of this in your slow cooker, which you obviously have. And it's like, no, none of that is easy. What are you talking about? Like, so you'll look up, like, how do I make my hair healthier? And they'll be like, oh, well, you just need to plan out a 3-week regimen of apple cider vinegar, and then wash your hair every other day, and then wash your hair every third day, and then I'm not gonna fucking make this complicated schedule for myself. This isn't an easy thing.
Right. It's people who are dedicated.
Yeah, people who are into that.
It's like...
giving advice that it's, like, not...
Yeah.
The layman's... advice.
I hate going to an expert for, like, looking up the expert opinion on, like, nutrition.
Yeah.
And they're, like, so condescending.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, you know, I can't believe that people eat McDonald's. And it's like, people eat McDonald's because they work 50 hours. Your job is to think about broccoli.
Exactly.
Like, that's why you eat healthy. Meanwhile, like, we're here. We can't. We're going to McDonald's because we're working and not thinking about broccoli.
Or you just get so inundated with information that it makes you so intimidated that you do nothing at all.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah. One of the best hair care advice things I got was to apply conditioner to the ends of your hair only, not the roots. Because I've stopped using conditioner entirely.
Ooh.
And people that are into hair... give me a look when I say that.
Yes, I am a little bit...
horrified.
I'm a little bit horrified. Continue.
But, like, my hair's really oily.
Yeah.
What? That's the end of that explanation. Yeah, what are you looking for from me?
Yeah.
I know it's unhealthy.
If
my
your
hair oily.
Is oily, I imagine that, like,
I just
it's
shampoo.
Doing the conditioner's job. Or, I mean, I don't know.
What And also what I'm doing is I'm like... I know. It's because you're using shampoo every day and your hair is overcompensating and you're actually making it oilier. And I'm like, yep, that's the way I take care of my hair because I don't fucking give a shit. I just don't want it to look oily.
Okay.
I'm not going to do a comp... Like, what I'm trying to say is stop telling me to put vinegar in my hair. I'm not gonna put vinegar in my hair. The world. I'm not doing it.
I love that this is your, like, this is your cross where everyone, you walk down the street and it's like, hey, ma'am, can you please put some apple vinegar in your hair?
They're giving me pamphlets every day about the wonders of apple cider vinegar. I'm not doing it. Every time I go to a hairdresser's, and they're like, so how are you taking care of your hair? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just like, you know, taking care of it.
Just like,
fine.
Not.
Fine. I'm like, I don't want to tell you what I'm doing.
Right.
Because you're going to get, like, mad at me? Like, I've legit had hair.
No, yeah.
Like, how dare you do this to your own hair? And I'm like, I don't care. What? My hair's oily. I want to do an easy fucking thing to make it not oily anymore. So I'm going to use the, Head and Shoulders shampoo for oily hair, and that's all I'm gonna do in my hair. Like, So now I've finally gotten to the point where I just say, I use Head and Shoulders, and then they say, oh, you should, and I say, I'm not gonna stop. Gonna let you save your breath. Please just cut my hair.
Yeah.
Great.
And that's, put your foot down.
That's me putting my foot down. But it's important to understand what you are and aren't gonna do.
Yeah.
Because you can get so inundated with information, you know? My mom is very similar to me in a lot of these ways. And I finally heard her looking at, she was looking at a piece of instruction on her clothing about how to take care of it.
Right.
And it said, like, it was like dry clean only or, you know, some crazy question. She was like, well, I'm going to throw this in the washing machine because if I can't throw it in the washing machine, I'm just never going to clean this.
Yeah.
And if I never can clean it, I'm never going to wear it. So either it comes out fine or it doesn't. That's it. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's.
I just throw my bras in the washing machine. You're not supposed to do
that.
And they get wrecked. But, like, otherwise I just never wash my bras. Like, what? I'm not going to hand wash them in the sink. I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
I know my limitations. I can barely manage to do my dishes every day. Like,
yeah.
I'm not hand washing my bras. I used to.
Sure. But people get busy. Life, there's like, every person has the ability to think about like two problems. And like, bras are just they're going to get forgotten.
Yeah.
It's like, the only reason why I'm like, I wonder, I should take better care of my skin right now is because I'm unemployed.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have the time to be like, oh, I should put apple cider vinegar in my hair. Like, if I was working of 50-hour work weeks, I would not be thinking about that. I would be fucking drowning in work. But instead, I'm like, huh, I'm gonna do something crazy. It's like, I mean, yeah, I imagine people that work out have this thing where, like, they're not working out and then they get unemployed and all of a sudden they're working out 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because now they have time to actually think about that. It's just like, yeah, it's all about time. No one has time.
But also just knowing yourself and forgiving yourself
for
your own limitations and working within your own limitations.
I mean, also, like, if you don't care about it, then why would you? Hand wash your bras.
Yeah.
It's like, Would you like to write some fan fiction?
I guess so.
You guess so?
Guess I could.
Do you want to do a Trek adventure? How are you feeling right now? We could do some fan fiction.
I don't know how I'm feeling.
You want to do a House Stinky?
I don't feel loud enough.
You don't feel loud enough? I'm going to do a House Stinky. And then we'll see how
Maybe
we're feeling after that.
Get me in the mood.
Yeah. This is a segment called How Stinky.
I kind of want you to tell the story of how you came across this idea, why this segment exists at all, because it's pretty funny.
Okay, so I woke up at like 4 a.m., and I scribbled something down in my journal, and then
And in your head, like, the best idea.
This is gonna...
Gotta write it down. Right.
Perfect for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I fell back asleep, like, and I woke up the next day, didn't remember I did that, and I opened my journal, and I was flipping through, and I was like, how stinky? What is that?
What does that even mean?
What does that even mean? And that's how the segment came about.
Well, we made it work.
Yeah. So, today on How Stinky, we're going to do Simpsons characters.
Ooh.
Mr. Burns.
Oh, how, no.
How stinky.
Old man smell. Old man smell. Just mothballs. What? Where does old man smell come from?
Yeah, like mothballs and like mold, mm-hmm. I guess. Just like everything in their life is old.
Yeah, I remember a couple months ago I was hanging out with my brother. And I guess I caught a whiff of his jacket or something. And I was like, Luke, why do you smell like a grandpa? What? Why? You smell like an old man right now.
You smell like a Mr. Burns right now.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where did that... Because maybe it will... Tell me where that smell comes from. And Luke was like, I don't know. What are you talking about? What? I don't know. Maybe it was must from his closet.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out.
Krusty the Clown. How? How stinky?
I guess it's sweaty from the lights. Krusty the Clown. I don't know what he smells. I mean, he probably smells like cigarettes.
Makeup and cigarettes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Chemically smell?
Mm-hmm. How about Seymour Skinner? How stinky.
I feel like he wears too much cologne, perhaps.
Yeah. He's, like, overcompensating. Mm-hmm. And then his regular smell is, like, he has, like, a mustardness to him.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah.
That makes sense. And I guess the school smell, too. The, like,
right.
The glue from books, like, a library smell a little bit. Pencil shavings and whatnot. Can I tell you a deep, dark secret?
Yes.
I've always been attracted to Seymour Skinner.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What about him?
I don't know. Older nerds. I like older nerds. He wears a suit. I think it's also because I saw the episode where he starts dating Edna.
Right.
And he's very, just endearing. Mm. Both of them are very endearing. And I was like, when I first saw that, I was like, wow, this is like a shipping fanfic in Simpsons episode form.
Right.
And so I just love them as a couple. It's adorable. I was really disappointed that they ended up splitting up later.
Yeah. It's funny, all of Simpsons continuity, when they decide that they're actually going to do continuity, and then they back off later, like when What's-His-Face became sober? Barney.
Oh.
When Barney was sober.
Has Barney ever been sober for multiple episodes?
Yes, he was sober for like a season or two.
Really?
Yeah. He drank coffee instead of beer. That was like a thing he was doing. And his hair was slicked back instead of all shaggy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like in the later seasons. It was like season 12 or something, but it was still like a thing that happened.
Weird.
We'll end with Homer.
Good old Homer.
Stinky.
Homer just smells like a dad.
Yeah.
He smells like, you know what he smells like? Scented soap.
Yeah.
Like floral scented soap, because the whole family just uses the same soap in the shower.
Yeah, Marge buys the soap.
Yeah.
And Homer doesn't even think about it.
And maybe like Old Spice deodorant. Just like generic deodorant. He doesn't even think about it. Maybe not Old Spice. Maybe like Speed Stick.
It's like the one that he sees on television the most. Mm-hmm. He has put no thought into the quality or if a different deodorant's better or worse. He just like, that one's the one.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the ads.
Yep.
So, we'll take a little break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we will write a fan fiction. And just a little teaser. One of our characters this week is the very hungry caterpillar.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Catch you in a minute. I'm a great hairy hulk of like a lycanthrope. I've got a hair in my soap. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you have a good break?
I had a great break.
Oh.
I ate an apple.
Nice.
We shared an apple.
We shared an apple.
Yummy.
Yeah. Sharing, caring.
That's right.
Our first character this week is the Very Hungry Caterpillar from the book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Who is a caterpillar that is very hungry.
Yeah. Spends a week eating food.
Yep.
Just takes that week and just eats an apple. And two pears, and three plums, and four strawberries, and then a bunch of...
And five golden rings.
Five golden rings.
Does the book have, like, a place for your finger?
Is that the one that has a place for your
finger? No, it does have a hole in it.
Yes.
That is like...
The whole remains constant, I think. Yeah. And he just he loves to eat, and then he gets real thick and becomes a butterfly.
So beautiful.
So beautiful.
So meaningful.
So meaningful.
Is it a metaphor?
Yes, for...
Get as fat as you can, and then you'll be beautiful.
Exactly. Butterfly. Yeah. If you eat
Eat all the food you can.
Eat all the food you can. Get as fat as you can, then crawl into a bed and sleep for a week.
Yeah, and then hibernate for a while.
And then leave your house and you'll be beautiful.
You'll become the beautiful butterfly you were always meant to be. I love it.
We could have the very hungry caterpillar be like a monster.
Oh, yes.
And it's like a very hungry creature that's going around eating all the bad...
Bad people?
Well, you know... One of our other characters this week is Thumbelina, the character of
the Very Hungry Caterpillar is eating everyone's leaves and plants and gardens.
Yes.
And destroying their homes and eating their babies, maybe?
Maybe.
Thumbelina needs to save the day.
So tell us who Thumbelina is.
Well, Thumbelina is very tiny. She's a little tiny baby.
Yes. No. Born of barley corn.
Born of barley corn.
That's what I wrote down.
Wow. Now, is this specifically Thumbelina from the Don Bluth movie?
Let's go with that. Okay. I'm assuming the person who submitted it was going with that and not the Hans Christian Andersen?
I think it's Hans Christian Andersen. Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't know. I've rewatched this movie recently, but I don't remember how Thumbelina is born. There's a couple... A farmer and his wife, and they can't bear children, and they pray for a child, and I think she's, like, born out of a flower.
Yeah.
And then she's, like, 6 inches tall, little maiden.
This seems to be, like, one of those stories like Cinderella that is told in every culture and then adapted, because Isao Takahata, the late Isao Takahata's last movie was...
From Ghibli?
From Ghibli, yeah, was essentially this as well, although I believe...
Oh, yeah, that's right. The tale of the Princess Kaguya.
Yeah, she is also born of a stalk or...
Or like a lotus flower?
Yeah, something. And yeah, to a older couple that can't bear children, and she becomes this beautiful princess. It's just like, and I know that there is other versions of this tale that are told. So it's one of those stories that is just like, I don't know, universal.
Right. So different between Thumbelina or Kaguya is that Thumbelina remains tiny.
Yes.
She's a full grown, woman who is about 6 inches tall at her height. Yeah. And she needs to get married to a frog prince.
Okay.
And there's a fairy that she falls in love with.
Right.
But she's not a fairy. She's just a tiny human.
Oh, okay.
And so she doesn't have wings.
Yeah, I was definitely imagining wings, but I was thinking of the fairy boy.
Yes, because he is a fairy.
Yes.
He might even have pointed ears. I can't remember.
Yes.
It's a weird movie.
I mean, it's a Don Bluth movie.
It's a Don Bluth movie. It's as Don Bluth as a movie can be. I'll just say
it
that.
It's a Don Bluth movie without the reining in of Spielberg.
Yeah, exactly. There's weird frogs that try and marry her off, and she goes somewhere. I don't even remember the rest. Anyway, she's real little, and she lives on a farm, and she's so kind and gentle and beloved by all, and all the farm animals love her.
So she's just, like, one of those little girls, or not little girls, she's a story character that is meant to have little girls look up to her because she's perfect in every way.
Yeah.
And be like her. She's perfect in every way, little girl.
And we must protect her at all costs.
Yes. Okay. I also wrote down that she is kidnapped frequently.
Yeah, probably. That happens. I mean, because she's so little.
Yeah.
And because she's so kind and personalityless.
Yeah.
That those characters, those generic personalityless princess characters just exist as MacGuffins to be kidnapped, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think our version of Thumbelina will have much more self-independence.
Yes. We will throw in some cumin, throw in some barley.
Yes.
We will make this a spicy Thumbelina.
Spicy Thumbelina.
As much as barley is not spicy, but...
Well, whatever. You haven't just had the right barley.
Oh.
Barley spice.
Let's not get lost in the details. okay, so.
So she has to slay this very hungry caterpillar.
Okay.
That's invaded her home.
All right, so we will have Thumbelina in, like, a village of little people?
I guess little animals.
Okay.
Maybe Thumbelina has struck out on her own.
Yes.
She doesn't live at the farm anymore. She lives with some mice.
Okay.
And crickets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole village.
Okay.
Of tiny, tiny animal farmers.
Hmm. I love it. Adorable. So one night, there is a noise.
Mm.
And Thumbelina wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And the mouse family that she lives with, the Papa Mouse,
mm-hmm.
is like, Thumbelina, go back to bed. I'll take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
And takes out, like, an adorable...
mouse shotgun.
Yeah, a little mouse shotgun.
It's a pop gun, though.
Yeah. And goes out, and it's probably, like, pieced together from human bits
mm-hmm.
that are like, how would you make a little shotgun?
Oh, I don't know. It'd be too tiny to use actual
recognizable parts. Yeah, thing. So, you know, this father figure
mm-hmm.
goes out and leaves Thumbelina behind, and night goes by, morning comes,
mm-hmm.
Papa Mouse isn't back.
Uh-oh.
And Thumbelina, now this mouse family, Mama Mouse,
mm-hmm.
is without someone to attend to the farm, and...
Thumbelina takes it upon herself to go out and find Father Mouse.
Papa Mouse, yes.
Papa Mouse.
So, okay, that is our inciting incident.
Maybe, could she be living with a family of cockroaches?
Okay.
And she needs to go out and find...
Papa Roach?
Papa Roach?
Yes. We will retcon this. She was living with a family...
Man.
Of cockroaches. And she
I killed myself. Oh, man. So Mama Roach and Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
Mama Roach is so sad, and Papa Roach has gone out.
Yeah.
And Thumbelina has to go find him and save him.
Yes.
They're cute drawings of cockroaches, though, not, like, realistic cockroaches.
Yeah, they look like...
Like how the rescuers down under, when the crickets were preparing a meal in the...
I was thinking of, like, a Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Thumbelina... goes off and she goes out into the farm and she sees what
if we have a tiny human character
mm-hmm.
and we have a big old caterpillar character, and the big old caterpillar character is mostly known for eating things.
Yes.
I feel like we're gonna accidentally create a vor fanfic without meaning to. Do we want to? Is this something we are prepared to explore?
I mean, yeah. I'm not against it.
Okay.
I'm just...
We don't have to go that route,
now,
I suppose.
Mostly I know vor from people making fun of it. Isn't there...
Specifically the McElroys.
Specifically the McElroys. Specifically Griffin McElroy. isn't there more to it than just
being
eating?
Eaten. Yeah.
It's like... isn't it more of a pregnancy thing?
Like I was saying before, it's all wrapped up. Everything is all wrapped up in each other.
Right.
When it comes to, like, fetishes and sex and psychology
and
everything.
I think of it like Yoshi,
often,
where it's not...
Like a being ingested whole
mm-hmm.
and then kind of being enveloped.
Yeah.
So it sort of has a bit to do with that specific bondage fetish where it's, like, being wrapped up in plastic
mm.
or, like, in... latex or leather, like being encased.
Right.
But also expansion porn, where it's,
right.
you can see them in the tummy.
Yes.
The stomach.
Yeah, see, I think this will only be vor related in that it will involve a large creature eating things.
Mm.
And even if Thumbelina gets eaten, you didn't watch Guardians of the Galaxy 2 when Drax got eaten by the alien creature.
I did.
And go, I love this vor.
Well, a person that's into vor might have.
Maybe. But it's like, certainly James Gunn and the people at Marvel Entertainment were not like, This is a Vore story we're writing. This joke when Drax jumps into the alien is all Vore.
Yeah, but...
You think it might still that there's a lot of, titillate?
I think there's a lot of fanfics afterwards about Drax getting jumping then into an alien and getting
then that's,
enveloped.
That's great.
That's what I'm saying.
I am prepared for that.
Okay.
I am okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many fanfictions do you think there are of Farquaad inside of Dragon's Belly from Shrek?
A lot.
Probably a lot.
So many.
I gotta look that up. Mm-hmm. If you're into Vore, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thumbelina finds all of the apples that in the farm have been eaten.
Mm, yes.
And she finds what clue? What do caterpillars leave? I mean, dung?
Crunch marks on leaves.
Okay. Yes.
And little tiny footprints.
What she finds is, you remember how the book has like that painterly texture?
Mm-hmm.
She finds some painterly texture on the ground.
Oh, okay. And yeah, yeah.
It's like in a trail. Uh-huh. And she's like, what is this?
These leaves are so abstract.
Yeah.
And so stylized. Mm-hmm. It seems weird.
So she follows it. And,
I think I've about reached the end of, I need more. I need a...
Yeah.
Should we add another character? We need some infusion. Right now I'm getting a really Secret of Nim vibe.
Yeah.
So maybe she goes to the Rats of Nim to search out their help.
Okay. So the Rats of Nim, I don't know if I ever saw the movie.
Speaking of cartoon characters that I was very attracted to you as a child and didn't realize that that's what I was feeling.
Yes.
Jonathan the Rat.
Okay.
Oh, man, Jonathan the Rat.
Now, Jonathan is...
He's the nice young rat that she falls in love with.
Okay. So, I don't remember the movie.
Did she fall in love with him? There was a sexual attraction there.
Because isn't she trying to find her husband and her kids?
No, her husband's dead. She's a widow.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. But
her husband was a smart mouse.
Yes, because of the experiments. And, like, especially in the movie, the idea is, like, the science has created sort of magical mice.
Yeah.
But the magic is more just science in our world.
Yeah.
It's like that throwaway line in Thor 1 where Thor's like, what you call science, I call magic. In Asgard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Yeah. Like, a sufficiently advanced being just becomes a god to a lesser level of creation.
Yes.
Whereas we, the humans, seem to be gods bestowing gifts upon them, but it's just science.
Yeah. Okay, so she goes to the Rats of Nim, and what?
What does she find there?
She says...
She meets this... Very sexy rat.
The sexiest
Jonathan.
Rat. She says, Jonathan. Does she know Jonathan?
I don't know.
Yes. Jonathan and her...
Maybe there's a romantic... What do you call it? Triangle?
Okay.
Between her and the fairy boy.
You want to bring the fairy boy into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember what his name was. And he's kind of a wiener.
Okay, great. Wiener?
But I feel like that could set up some good
tension.
You
want to call him Weenie?
Weenie? Yeah. Prince Weenie.
Prince Weenie. This is what I think. Jonathan and Thumbelina, they went on a couple dates, and then he never called back.
No, I feel like they... Oh, so they have a history.
They have a history, and it's like... Thumbelina kind of felt something. It was like, you know, this could work. I could see myself with this guy, with this rat, and then...
I feel like it's more like... She has gone on dates with this fairy fellow who kind of has taken it for granted that, oh, we're a thing now.
Mm.
But then they meet this new sexy rat.
Right.
And she's intrigued by this bad boy.
Right.
And the fairy's very jealous.
Can Jonathan ride a motorcycle?
I mean, he can. He absolutely can. Do you know how he makes it go?
He makes the noise.
Vroom? Yes, he makes the noise. Who is, what mouse is that?
Is this a biker mouse?
It's a Beverly Cleary novel.
Yeah. Ugh. We both read that.
He says room to go forward and morph to go backwards. And I can't remember what his name was. Yeah. It wasn't Stuart Little, but it was it was like a Stuart Little type.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. Adorable. So Jonathan the Rat on his very cool motorcycle.
He says, sup, Thumbelina. What are you doing here? This is Nim territory.
Rat territory.
Rat territory. You could get hurt.
What would a rat call, like, a fairy? Or, like, a humanoid? Like a skin
bipedal. Matter?
Like a nofer?
A nofer? Nofer's pretty good. But, like, can we destroy it a little bit? Like, nofer? Or, like...
Like a skinner.
Skinner.
Seymour,
yeah.
Skinner. A skinner. That's skinner. Pretty good.
Yeah, a skinner. Where were we?
We decided that Jonathan from The Secret of Nim has a cool motorcycle and a leather jacket that he rides and wears, respectively.
Does he have a scar over his eye?
He does, yes. Oh, because of when he was in a sword fight with the evil rat from the Rats of Nim movie.
The evil rat. Remember? From Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Sure. No, what was the evil rat's name? I don't know. He was in a sword fight and he got hurt.
Oh,
so
okay.
So he could have been...
Sure.
Protecting Mrs. Brisby's home.
Yes.
And he has a cool scar.
And does he have cool anime hair?
No, he looks like an actual rat.
Okay, he's just a regular rat.
Well, he looks like himself from the movie.
He looks like himself from the movie, but he's got a cool leather jacket and a motorcycle, that goes vroom.
Yes.
When he goes vroom.
Yes.
Okay.
That they stole from the farmer's house.
Okay. And... Wait, is it a life-size, like a human-size motorcycle?
No, it's him-sized. He can ride it. Like, he's riding it like you would... Regular to that style.
Okay.
And so there is a hungry caterpillar. Oh, at the end of The Rats of Nim, the book, the rats go off to create a farm for themselves.
Okay.
So that they're self-sufficient. They're not stealing from the farmer anymore.
Right.
I think that also sort of happens in the movie, though not explicitly.
Okay.
So maybe that's where they are right now.
Okay.
This is post-Rats of Nim.
Right.
And something is destroying their crops.
Okay. Yes.
And something has just
And Thumbelina is living with the Rats of Nim.
Well, no. Thumbelina's on a farm with her roach family.
With her... Right. With the... With
she's
Papa
boarding,
roach
she's
and
boarding
roach.
With the roach family. They're not her family, but she's boarding with
them. Yes. Yeah.
And they've been very kind to her, and she feels a very deep debt of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to help them keep their farm, and so she goes off to the rat's farm down the road.
Yes.
And maybe this is, like, a creature of legend.
Okay.
Because I feel like mythological kind of stuff.
Right.
Fits in with this world we've created.
Yes. So.
The devourer?
Okay.
Of some kind?
Yes. The devourer, the,
has awoken from his slumber.
Grendel, the...
Yeah.
The very hungry Grendel.
The Devourer of Worlds.
Yes.
What was his name?
From
Galactus?
Galactus,
yeah. Devourer of Worlds.
It is Galactus. They,
Oh, no. It's a very hungry caterpillar, but he is wearing a tiny little Galactus helmet.
Yes, of course.
So he's devouring their worlds.
Yes.
He is the Devourer of Worlds of legend.
Yes. So, where do we go? So, what does Thumbelina come to the Rats of Nim for? Weapons, information. When I'm thinking of scenes like this in books and movies, like when Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn go to the guy from Phantom Menace that goes, do you remember this guy?
Was he the leader of the Gungans?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they get a ship from him so that they can go back to...
Right.
So it's like...
Right. So,
so she maybe needs, like, a transportation or, like, the sword of legend or...
Maybe the rats have a big old fence around their garden, their farmland, and they've been mostly spared from the ravages of the devourer. And so they're all saying, why should we help the rest of the valley?
Yes.
This isn't our problem. And Jonathan is saying... Once the Devourer gains in strength and size, do you think that he will just leave us be?
Yeah. Once
and also
the Devourer gets thick.
Yes.
You know that booty won't stop.
THICC. And also, we have an obligation to our friends and neighbors and fellow Valley livers.
Yes.
To help them in their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Rat Council says...
That are all wearing white robes.
Yes. Like...
adorable white robes.
And they're sitting high up mm-hmm. in the balconies.
Yes.
And he's saying, you've forgotten where we come from.
Mm-hmm.
You've betrayed your values and... become insular in our our good fortune
yes.
has made you blind to the ravages of the outside world.
And we see like the crowd, which is all sort of blacked off,
like shadowy.
Yes, and then it's like we hear like whoa, boo, and
heretic,
and the council, the leader, stops them, and everyone comes to a dull. And says,
hey, shut up, jerk.
Hey, you dump. You're a dummy. What, you think your leather jacket looks cool? You don't. So dumb. Or you think you're riding a motorcycle so you know more than us? We got robes. We in this council. You're just a guy. Get out of here.
And so they get out of here.
So, yeah. It's like, Jonathan's like, Thumbelina, I think...
I tried.
I tried my best.
And so, Thumbelina thinks that it didn't work. And Jonathan's like, I'm sorry, I tried my best.
Mm-hmm.
And so Thumbelina thinks that she has to go it alone to defeat the... Maybe they loan her a sword.
Okay. Jonathan steals her a sword.
Yes, he steals her a sword. And so she thinks she has to leave, but then as she's... leaving the rat compound, Jonathan runs after her. Or she hears in the distance, which is him making the sound.
Yeah, of course.
And he's like, you didn't think I'd let you face the demon entirely alone, did ya?
Oh, Jonathan!
He pats the back of the motorcycle and she hops on. Maybe it's a little slide car?
Yes.
Well, I feel like it's more romantic if she's on the actual back of the motorcycle.
But those little sidecars,
but it's
funnier.
Very cute.
Yeah.
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 No, maybe she's riding in on the back, and then the fairy prince comes
okay.
along, and he gets to ride in the little sidecar.
Yes.
But he's really mad about it.
Yeah. He's going,
I want to be on a motorcycle. Sidecar.
I'm the real romantic lead.
I'm the hero.
Yeah. Okay. So we have our three heroes, Jonathan, Thumbelina, and...
Prince Weenington.
Prince the huge wiener. And so they follow this path of textured paint.
Mm-hmm.
And
devoured leaves.
And devoured leaves. And they come across a cave. No. Yes. No. They come across
yes.
a tree. And in the tree... They see the devourer. And the devourer is shaking and forming a cocoon.
Terrifying.
And they're like, what is it doing? What is it doing? And it forms into its what is the word? Cocoon.
Papua.
Papua.
Papua. Harper.
And,
Pupa.
And...
Papusta. Pomplamoose.
Forms into the YouTube sensation, Pomplamoose. And, they do a really good cover of a Michael Jackson song. And then,
Is that a band?
Yeah.
I was just saying grapefruit in French.
Yeah. Pomplamoose is... They do YouTube covers... Do you know Patreon? You're aware of Patreon?
Yes, I have
the website.
Heard of it.
The dude in the band started Patreon.
What? Crazy!
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Pomplamoose.
Good job, Mr. Pomplamoose.
You made a thing.
You made a thing. And...
So, the caterpillar, they're not going to... It's very big at this point.
Yes.
It's roughly the size
of
a cat.
Yes.
And so...
Basically, what I'm attempting to do is like... As we keep going back to Dragon Ball,
mm-hmm.
it is going to its second form.
Yes. Well, while it's a caterpillar, I do want it to devour a character.
Oh, okay.
And then they have to cut their way out of its belly.
Okay.
But then it splits into two caterpillars, like a worm.
Okay.
Like I don't know.
Like a worm? Okay, I see what you're saying.
Caterpillars don't do that. Yeah. Worms don't do that either, for that matter. But yeah.
You're thinking this of is a slime? Monster. You're thinking of a slime.
Maybe, yeah.
I
just really wanted to eat somebody.
Okay. So...
was the vor fetishist me? All along?
But you were a vor fetishist the whole time.
And I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
I learned something about myself.
If you'd like to submit vor... email.
No, don't.
Liz at...
Liz's vor site at gmail.com.
Yeah.
So I do really want the caterpillar to eat somebody, because that seems...
Well, maybe obviously it eats Weenie, yeah. Because screw Weenie. Well, how about Weenie gets eaten and
I feel like we think that... Oh, I know.
Okay.
It eats the prince in the beginning of the battle.
Yes.
And that's the end of him.
Yes.
And then it turns into a cocoon, and they don't know what's going on. And then it turns into a butterfly. No, no, it's a dragon. It's flying. And then,
yeah.
And then the prince bursts out of the belly.
Right.
With his magical sword. But that's too cool for Weenie.
Yeah. Weenie's such a weenie. I mean, we could easily make it Thumbelina or Jonathan, but, like, then that feels like we have these two, like, great characters.
Yeah.
These two, like, beautiful characters, and, like, then they'll be... out the whole match,
mm-hmm.
but making Weenie pop out of it feels like a
surprise.
God hand. What is that?
Deus ex machina.
Deus ex machina.
What else can we do?
I think, okay, so, yeah, like, they come across the creature, the devourer,
mm-hmm.
and they fight, and...
Maybe they see the devourer, and he's inside a dark... hollow of the tree, and okay. It's very scary, and he's so fat at this point they can only see sort of his front feet.
Okay.
The rest of him is kind of in shadow,
right?
And what they don't know is that he's so fat at this point that he takes up almost all of the hollow of the tree.
Oh my god.
And he's just like, enter.
Right.
Why have you disturbed my devouring my I was going to say slumber, but that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I've been sleeping.
I mean, yeah, no, he doesn't sleep so much. He mostly just eats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's devouring the tree right now.
But he's also very fat, and he goes,
yeah.
What is it you seek, my child?
Give us back Papa Roach!
I do not know of this roach father of yours. I have devoured many insects in my time.
He sounds pretty cool, though. It's like...
real punk rock.
Yeah.
Kind of angry.
Ooh, Oh, sorry, that was a burp.
Excuse me.
Maybe...
Oh, this could be really cool and weird and terrifying. Maybe he's like... I have devoured many in my time. They have become one with me. If you think you can brave the Chamber of Terror.
Oh, wow.
You may enter. And then his mouth, like,
opens.
Distends so big, like the mm-hmm. lion in Aladdin, the big mm-hmm. lion cave. And he's like,
bleh. Yeah.
And so, Jonathan and...
Jonathan says, I guess they are in Devor, referring to us. They break the fourth wall.
Yeah, he turns directly to the camera and says, pulls out a cigar. It's like, I guess they are in Devor after all.
Wacky.
What do you know? okay, and then back to the story.
Back to the story.
And so they enter really slowly. And as they're walking in, they can hear, and they can see the walls contracting and mm-hmm. expanding as he's breathing. And also as he's drooling, cause just thinking about them, in his belly.
And they're walking through the walls, and they hear a scream, and they turn to their left, and it's a face. Ah! And it is a roach. It's not Papa Roach.
Oh, okay.
But it is a roach going, and then goes back into the wall. And another wall, like, the walls are palpitating.
Oh my god, yes.
Screaming, and
yeah,
the wall...
So faces kind of get pressed up against the various, like, globs of,
inside
juices, yeah. and whatnot?
And
help me!
And Weenie goes, ugh, I hate this place! Ugh.
It's gross!
Thumbelina grabs him and slaps him. Keep it together, Weenie! We're saving Papa Roach!
Okay, I can do this. So, if I know anything about terrifying pulsating caves.
Yes.
That they have to find Princess Rudo first. So she can hold down the switch.
Yeah.
To get inside. Oh, okay. So they come across a switch on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they step on it, the door opens. And when they step off of it, the door closes.
Right.
And they're like, well, someone's going to need to stay back here and hold this switch down while the others go on ahead.
Right.
And then
Jonathan
and Thumbelina both turn to Prince Wiener is the one that says this. I guess someone needs to hold this down while the others two go on ahead. And then he notices that they're both staring at him and he's like, but I don't want to stay by myself.
Yeah.
Fine. So he just sits on it with his arms crossed. Fine, I gotta just wait here for you.
But I don't want to stay by myself. And a wall goes, I'm here.
He's like, ugh.
You stay with me.
You're my new best friend. Oh, man. And this, like, slimy arm comes out of the wall and, like, puts it around his shoulders.
He's like, hey, buddy. Hurry back.
And so they go on ahead through the doors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they avoid all of the stinging jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
And they are inside the stomach. Oh, so now there is acid lake.
Yes.
And they're jumping across the hardened gallbladder stones.
Yes.
Gallstones.
Uh-huh. And when they step on the gallstones, it starts to sink.
Uh-oh.
And they have to keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe Thumbelina is like, in retrospect, we should have kept the guy with the wings.
Yeah.
One of us should have stayed back there.
Jonathan trips and he lands his hands on one stone and his feet on another.
Oh, no.
He's holding himself up and his leather jacket, parts of it are touching the acid and it's melting. Thumbelina is like, what do I do? What do I do? What does she do?
She runs across him like he's a bridge.
Okay, great.
And then maybe part of his leather jacket got stuck in the goop.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of starts to, it seems like it's almost alive. It starts to sort of goop its way up the jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And he scrambles to the next rock with Thumbelina. But his jacket is pulling him back.
Okay.
And Thumbelina says, you gotta take it off! You gotta take off the jacket! And he's like, do you know how hard it is to find a tiny leather jacket that fits a rat and looks this good?
Yeah.
And is fitted. It's got tiny little zippers. She grabs him by the face. She's, Jonathan, the cool biker is you. It's not in the jacket. The cool biker is in you all along. It's like, okay.
Okay. I'll do it. And he takes off the leather jacket. He becomes a regular rat.
He's like, oh, shit.
And he jumps right into the acid.
Oh, no! That was the secret to the gym powers all along. They're tiny clothes. Oh, no.
And we cut to Weenie, and Weenie's sitting on a switch, and then...
Jonathan's face appears through the wall. Where am I? You got any cheese?
Weenie's like...
You look familiar.
Thumbelina's like,
Jonathan?
So Thumbelina's all alone. What is she gonna do? So she hops to the end of the gallstones.
Yeah. And she calls, Papa Roach! Where are you, Papa?
Ooh.
Oh, yes. Ooh.
And
what's that, Papa Roach?
I hope so. Is that Papa Roach?
The only Papa Roach song that I ever knew was, this is my last resort. Suffocation, no feeling. Don't give a fuck if I come and stay bleeding.
Oh, that's
Down with the Sickness.
Right.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness.
Don't put up, don't put up. So, Thumbelina goes, ooh, we hear a voice go, that's Disturbed, idiot! Papa Roach!
Where are you?
Where are you? And
didn't I teach you anything about punk rock, rap, rock, metal? I don't know what
it's genre they are. Metal?
About new metal.
And yeah, she runs to the voice and
where is it?
It's, I mean,
in the Beating Heart?
Yes. Papa Roach is on the Beating Heart and has clamps on all of its appendages, all of his appendages.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, run, Thumbelina, run! He's too strong!
Now, I do want to mention that he's wearing a little farmer hat.
Yes.
Because it's cute.
And a little beard.
Oh, yes, Amish beard.
Yeah, Amish beard.
Yeah, cute.
And I want, like, a final boss to appear.
Yeah.
Like,
what can we do?
Like, an inside of a...
Like, maybe there was a tapeworm inside...
That was making him
so hungry.
Right. Okay.
And they have to defeat the virus, the parasite.
Right. Okay. So, Thumbelina still has that sword that Jonathan...
Right. It's a little cocktail sword?
Yes. Very good. Very good.
Maybe Papa Roach is suspended from the ceiling
mm-hmm.
as bait.
Ah.
And he's like, stay away, stay away. It's a trap. And she's like, no, don't worry. I can get you down. And she's trying to climb up the sides of the sticky wall.
Climbing on faces and people going like, ow. What are you doing?
Then she jumps onto the hanging doodly boodly.
The doodly boodly.
It's like the thing in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe when she jumps on there, you can hear the hungry caterpillar going like,
that tickles.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And she's cutting furiously with her sword.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa Roach is...
There's a parasite.
Right.
Is like slowly piling on top of itself. It's kind of like, it's like a liquid, but it can solidify enough to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's rising up.
It's raising its ugly head.
Reaching for her and him. Mm. And she's cutting furiously and it like the parasite nabs and Papa Roach just gets out of the way as it nabs one way. And so Papa Roach is now swinging a little bit.
Uh-huh. Because Thumbelina is on the hanging part of it,
mm-hmm.
cutting furiously. And so it screeches.
The parasite.
The parasite screeches and lunges toward her. And she jumps just in time. And the parasite accidentally bites.
Oh, perfect.
The hanging part. And so Papa Roach falls to the ground.
Yeah.
But luckily, it's all squishy and gooey. And he just kind of like blorps on the ground.
Yes. And?
And of course, we can hear the hungry caterpillar also screeching in pain. And
right.
the walls are shaking. And it's like an earthquake. Everything's just quaking and going crazy.
And so...
And Thumbelina has jumped onto the wall, and she's standing on one of the heads.
Mm-hmm. And has grabbed Papa Roach. She has Papa Roach under her arm.
Yeah, like a football.
Like a football. And what we see is she looks across. The parasite is coming for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Prince Wiener and Jonathan
right.
in the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've moved.
They've moved into the wall. Jonathan has shown Prince Wiener how to wall... project.
Yeah. How to wall climb?
How to move within the wall.
Yeah.
And they say, come here, get over here. So Thumbelina jumps from head to head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the parasite is biting and biting and biting and Thumbelina lands on Jonathan and...
Uh-huh. And then she jumps and Jonathan and Prince Wiener swings Jonathan out. So that they're kind of, like, projecting themselves from the wall.
Right.
And they just manage to grab Thumbelina's arms, and they yank as hard as they can, and all three of them, four of them, rather, with Papa Roach, go shporp inside the walls. And the parasite is so angry, and he just kind of smashes into the wall and smooshes into goo.
Yeah, spreads all out, like, just, like, yeah, throwing water against the wall.
And mm-hmm.
Just, yeah. And so now they're within the wall.
Yeah, and you kind of they're kind of absorbed within the caterpillar.
Yeah,
and they can kind of they're kind of communicating like psychically
mm-hmm.
with him as well.
Yes,
and now they can just travel.
They are all one within the caterpillar.
Yes, yeah, they can just travel from room to room, and
you know what, they they feel the caterpillar's loneliness.
That's right.
They feel that the caterpillar just wants to be beautiful.
Mm-hmm. He has an incessant drive within him, and he can't tell what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize that he is on the verge of a change.
Yeah.
And he needs to just accept it, stop fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't realize that he's feeling the impetus to create his cocoon around himself,
yes.
But he's scared to go forward.
Because change is scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, how do our heroes get out? Maybe we can, like, have them first incept the caterpillar and tell the caterpillar it's time to change.
Yeah, maybe they're just one within the caterpillar,
mm-hmm.
and then the caterpillar turns into the cocoon, and when the cocoon breaks apart, 5 beautiful butterflies.
Oh my god.
Well, it's real. They look like themselves, but they have beautiful butterfly
yes,
wings.
Exactly.
So the prince has, like, 6 butterfly wings, I
yeah.
guess? Well, maybe he has butterfly wings on his belly, too.
And Jonathan's butterfly wings are made out of leather.
Oh, very cool. Yes.
And, yeah, the coolest. It's the top 2 are leather, and the bottom 2 are motorcycle wheels.
Oh, very nice. And Papa Roach has butterfly wings coming out of his back, and he's kind of like, I mean, I could already fly.
Yeah.
I'm a cockroach.
Yeah, this
it's
is...
pretty, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
But mostly they're all just so amazed with the 5th butterfly that emerges. That
yes.
is Thumbelina, the beautiful fairy princess that
mm-hmm.
she was always meant to be.
Yes.
And she has beautiful monarch butterfly wings coming out of her back.
And they say to the devourer, now devourer, don't go eating the entire world again.
Uh-huh.
Now that you're beautiful and self-realized,
mm-hmm.
we're letting you off with a warning this time.
Yep.
Don't be kidnapping any papas.
Do all of the people that were eaten by the caterpillar, maybe he puked them all out before he became
okay, man. Great. Yeah. Do we need to save them?
I guess not.
Yeah, they all died.
Yeah.
They all became, the wings are made
cartoons,
out of something.
I guess even kids' cartoons have, like, nameless victims of monsters.
Yeah.
Bones that were strewn here and there.
Yeah. Occasionally, like, you'll
oh,
watch...
maybe the caterpillar that emerges, and then they're like, Godspeed, my caterpillar friend. And he flies up into the air.
The butterfly.
Yeah, the butterfly. And suddenly, the great owl comes swooping by, and
okay.
eats him.
Perfect.
Right out of the sky.
Yeah. Like, ooh. Because
it was evening
I mean,
by this time.
Yeah.
Oof. Circle of life.
Circle
am I right?
of life, yeah.
And then Jonathan turns directly to the camera and says, now that's what I call the circle of life, am I right?
And he chomps on a cigar.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Maybe Thumbelina sees him doing that, and she's like, I don't know if I like him anymore.
Yeah.
And the prince is like, ooh.
And he's like, oh, not you really either. I, like...
You have to, like, find who...
Yeah, I am. Like, I got these cool wings now. Like, I kind of just, like, you know... Like, you're great. You're great. You, wiener...
Yeah?
You're great.
Am I?
But, like...
I did a real good job, didn't I?
But, like, I gotta find my... Like, you know?
Oh,
you know? Like, at you and me. Like, you know? Like, Yeah. Like, I'm puking just thinking about it. Like,
I guess you make a good point.
You're very accepting.
And then, Jonathan... Maybe the Prince Wiener gets on the back of Jonathan's motorcycle and they both go drive off to commiserate with
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
And just have some fun motorcycle buddy adventures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on... They will spin off into their own fan fiction.
Yes.
Of Jonathan, the cool rat with a leather jacket.
Right, maybe his motorcycle can fly too. Maybe it flies off into the sky, Grease style.
Yeah.
And they're just best buddies now.
Exactly.
And, Thumbelina goes off to the next adventure to help people.
Yes.
Because that's what she does. She just goes from family to family, making new friends and helping them with their problems.
Yeah.
She vanquished this monster.
She's a regular cowboy.
That's right. Who's that little unicorn, that little anime unicorn?
The Last Unicorn.
No, not that guy. The one that looks like a
Kimba
little baby.
Kimba the White Lion.
Not Kimba, though. The one that looks like a
baby
I
know what
face.
You're talking about. I don't know
He goes
what
from friend to friend.
Yeah.
Solve problems.
Let's do some sandwich criticism.
All right.
One thing you liked about this story.
I liked a lot about it.
Yeah,
I liked too. I liked how we were very on the same page whenever one of us made a reference.
Yes.
The motorcycle and then Prince Rudo.
I can't believe we both read that mouse story.
Yeah, and both couldn't remember specifics. Yeah. A lot of good synergy, I guess.
Yes.
I liked the synergy.
Didn't like.
We got stuck a lot.
Yeah, I think...
We had to veer into new directions a
like,
lot.
I really like how we figured it out in the end, but, mm-hmm. like... It took us a second to get going.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And one more thing that you liked.
One thing I liked.
I think we did a good job.
The Papa Roach references.
Yeah, the Papa Roach references.
We did a really good job.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Fan Fiction Writer's Room. If you'd like to suggest characters for us, submit them to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
Thanks to the band known as Seawater Bliss for the use of their song Theme from Teen Wolf 2 as our intro and outro.
And remember, when in doubt, just AU that garbage.
Ooh, get up, come on, get down with the zingers.
The book that we were trying to think of about the mouse riding a motorcycle is called The Mouse and the Motorcycle.
Yeah.
By Beverly Cleary.
Mm-hmm. Just so we all know.
Just so we all know. In case you were frantically Googling and couldn't, and typed in the keywords mouse, motorcycle, book, and nothing came up.